Okay, get this. You're on a hillside in Spain. Sun's setting, right? Sky's all oranges and golds, like a painting.
Oh, I can practically feel the warm breeze.
And there's this scent of grapes in the air. Like they're just ripening on the vine right there.
Sounds divine.
We're diving into Spanish wine tonight.
My kind of deep dive.
So our listener, they're really into it, sent us a ton of articles and notes about Spanish grapes, Spanish wine, the whole deal.
Wow, quite a collection.
They want to know what makes these wines so unique. You know, what are the grapes that are like the stars of the show?
The headliners, yeah.
What's the history behind all this winemaking? Luckily, we've got a resident wine expert here to break it down.
Spain is a wine lover's dream, and it all starts with those amazing grapes.
Okay, so first things first, I'm already thirsty, and I'm not talking about wine. What is it about Spain? What makes it so good for growing these grapes that turn into the wines we love?
Diversity, that's the key. You've got mountains, you've got plains, everything.
So, like a patchwork.
Exactly. It creates these microclimates, different soil types. Each one's perfect for a different grape, like a puzzle
I see.
piece.
So it's not just one giant vineyard.
Nope. Like you've got Ribera del Duero,
Yep.
high altitude, known for intense reds. Those temperature swings day and night really help the Tempranillo grapes. They get all complex and deep.
Ribera del Duero. Adding that to my list. Okay, so we've got this tapestry of terroirs. What about the grapes themselves? Which ones are the real stars? The royalty, the A-listers of Spanish wine.
You can't talk Spanish wine without Tempranillo. It's the most planted red grape there, the heart of those Rioja wines.
Ah, Rioja. I'm already picturing myself at a tapas bar with a glass. Okay, what else?
Garnacha tinta, another big one. So fruity, bit of spice. You'll find it in Priorat blends, adds complexity.
Ooh, spice. I like where this is going.
And then there's Aran, most planted white grape in all of Spain. Oh, and here's a fun fact. You know, Uni Blanc, the grape for cognac. Well, it's pretty common in Spain, but they call it Trebbiano Toscano.
A grape with an alias. That's fantastic. Okay, this is way more interesting than I thought. There's a whole history here. I can feel it.
Oh, absolutely. Winemaking in Spain, it goes all the way back to the Romans. They brought viticulture to the Iberian Peninsula. They
Man,
really got things.
that's what I'm curious about. How have they held on to those traditions while keeping up with all the changes? New technologies, global tastes, it all moves so fast.
It's a balancing act, that's for sure. And Spain, they do it beautifully. New regions are popping up, Rueda, for example, crisp Verdejo wines. But they've also embraced new techniques, enhancing quality without losing that Spanish essence.
Best of both worlds, huh?
Exactly.
You know, our listener sent us info about more than just the grapes and the history. They're curious about all those factors that affect what we taste in the glass.
Right, it's a whole web of influences. The grape's just the beginning. You've got the rootstocks, the climate, the soil, winemaking techniques too. They all play a part.
Okay, so let's break that down. Rootstocks. I have to admit, they always seemed a bit of a mystery to me.
Think of it like a foundation for a house. You wouldn't build on something shaky, right? Winemakers, they choose specific rootstocks based on the soil, the climate, the style they're aiming for.
So, matching the roots to the environment and the wine you want to make.
You got it. Some rootstocks make the vine grow like crazy, tons of grapes, but sometimes less flavor. Others resist pests or diseases, thrive in specific soils.
Ah, so there's a strategy involved. It's not just picking any old root.
Not at all. Crucial decision. And then you've got climate and terroir, like fingerprints for a region.
We talked about Spain's diverse geography. But I bet there's more to it than mountains and plains.
Oh, definitely. You've got sunlight, temperature changes, rain, even the soil's makeup. All those things work together, affecting how the grapes ripen, develop their flavors.
So a sunny year in a warm place might mean a fruitier wine, while a cooler, wetter year might mean something more acidic.
You're getting it. And soil, too. Sandy soil, different wine than clay soil, even with the same grape.
Wow, this is making me appreciate wine on a whole new level. It's like a whole world in every glass.
And we haven't even gotten to the winemaker's choices yet.
Okay, so what about that? How can the winemaker influence the final product?
So many ways. Fermentation temperature, the type of yeast, oak barrels for aging, all that shapes the aroma, flavor, texture.
So even if you have the same grapes, same vineyard, different winemakers can make completely different wines.
Absolutely. It's an art and a science. Each winemaker brings their own vision to the table.
I'm already planning my trip to Spain. But before I book my flight, let's talk more about history. Romans, Moors, we touched on them, but there's so much more to uncover.
I'm ready for a time travel adventure. Let's go.
So back to the Romans. They arrive, bring grapevines. What happened next? What kind of wines were they making back then?
It's tough to say exactly. You know, we don't have detailed taste notes from ancient Rome, but we know they made wine for everyday drinking, for special occasions, probably used amphorae, those big clay pots.
Those Romans sipping their wine after a hard day's work.
Right. And then came the Visigoths. They kept the winemaking tradition going.
So even through all the changes, empires rising and falling, winemaking stayed strong.
Exactly. And then the Moors, right, we talked about them. Amazing how they preserved and evolved Spanish winemaking, even though they couldn't drink it themselves.
It really shows how important wine was in Spanish culture, even back then.
Exactly. And as the Christian kingdom slowly took Spain back, winemaking became central again. Monasteries were important, especially in regions like Rioja. They kept the knowledge alive.
Monks and wine, that's a great combination.
Right. Wine was part of life, part of religion. And as Spain grew in power, so did their wine trade. New world opened up, huge new markets. Spanish wines started to become the global stars they are today.
So Spanish wine was already traveling the world.
Absolutely. Going to the Americas, all over, sharing those flavors.
This history is amazing. It's like a huge epic tale, empires, wars, and through it all, the wine keeps flowing.
And then we get to the 18th and 19th centuries, Rioja and Jerez, they really started to become famous during that time.
So those regions, some of the most famous in Spain, were already making great wine back then.
Exactly. Rioja, with its Tempranillo reds and Xerez, making sherry, they were making their mark on the world. But then the late 19th century, phylloxera hit, a real crisis.
We mentioned that earlier. Why was it so bad for the vineyards?
This tiny insect, like an aphid, attacks the roots, and it spread through Europe like wildfire. No cure back then. Millions of acres destroyed. A catastrophe.
It must have felt like the end of the world for winemakers.
It was a dark time, but out of that darkness came a solution: grafting.
Oh, right. We were talking about rootstocks earlier. You attach a cutting from the grape you want to the root system of a vine that can resist the phylloxera.
Yep, you got it. Protected those precious grapes, kept them growing in their traditional regions. A total game changer, still used today.
Innovation born out of necessity. So thanks to grafting, Spanish wine bounced back.
It did. And then in the 20th century, they really focused on quality, regional identity. They set up the denominaciones, the origen, the DOs, kind of like the French AOC system.
Quality control, making sure the wines meet standards.
You got it. Regulating grape varieties, growing methods, winemaking techniques protects the reputation, ensures consumers know what they're getting.
It's like a guarantee of authenticity.
Exactly. And then, late 20th, early 21st century, we see this incredible revival of Spanish wine, new wineries, innovation, and a real focus on native grapes.
Now, this is getting exciting. What's driving all this energy and innovation?
A few things. Investment in new technology. Spanish winemakers are using modern methods, creating even better wines.
Blending the old and the new.
Precisely. Plus, they're rediscovering those indigenous grapes. For a while, it was all about international varieties like Cabernet Sauvignon, but now they're celebrating those lesser-known Spanish grapes, bringing them back into the spotlight.
This is like a return to their roots, finding what makes Spanish wine special.
Exactly. It's a beautiful thing to see.
This deep dive has been incredible. I'm learning so much. I need to go find a bottle of Spanish wine right now.
I think we all do.
But hold on, we've got more to talk about. More grapes to discover, more history to explore. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Spanish wine adventures. We're back and ready for more Spanish wine. Before, we were talking about this revival of indigenous grapes. Sounds like there's a whole hidden world of Spanish wines out there.
Oh, there is. Spain's got such a variety of native grapes, each one perfectly suited to a specific place. Makes for some incredible wines, real depth and character.
So it's not all Tempranillo and Garnacha. There are other grapes waiting in the wings.
Exactly. And these indigenous varieties, they offer something special, something you won't find anywhere else.
Okay, I'm hooked. Give me some examples. What should our listener be looking for?
Well, we talked about Albariño from Rías Baixas. It's white grape, loves those cool coastal areas, Atlantic breezes. The wines are so refreshing. Zesty acidity, citrus, stone fruit, and a touch of saltiness from the sea.
Yeah, that saline note. It's wild how the environment gets into the wine itself.
It's what makes wine so fascinating, a taste of place. And then there's Verdejo from Rueda, another white grape getting more and more popular these days.
What's special about Verdejo?
Verdejo wines are usually dry, nice acidity, and aromas of, well, think green apple, fennel, and a kind of almondy note. Very distinct, great with food too. Salads, grilled fish, all that.
Sounds like a perfect summer sipper.
Okay.
What else?
Godeo. Keep an eye out for that one. From Galicia, white grape, known for these textured wines. Ripe pear, quince, a bit herbal. Ages really well, too.
Ah, so if our listener wants a Spanish white that can handle a big meal or spend some time in the cellar, Godel is a good bet.
It is, and those are just a few. There are tons more. Spain is full of these hidden gems, each with their own story.
It's like a wine treasure hunt. So much to discover. But while we're talking past, present, future of Spanish wine, I've been thinking about the challenges.
Ah, yes. The wine world, it's facing some big ones.
Climate change, global trends shifting all the time. How do you see Spanish wine adapting in the years to come?
That's the question, isn't it? Climate change is already affecting wine regions everywhere, and Spain is no exception. Some places are getting hotter, drier, tough on the grapes.
So, are Spanish winemakers worried? Or are they figuring out ways to deal with it?
They're resilient, those Spanish winemakers. They're not giving up. Many are focusing on sustainable practices, saving water. They're even trying out new grape varieties that can handle the heat better.
So, old wisdom combined with new ideas?
Exactly. They're using traditional methods like dry farming, relying on rainfall, not so much irrigation, but they're also using high-tech stuff to monitor the vineyards, use water wisely.
It's great to see them working to preserve their heritage while adapting to the changing world.
It is, and they're realizing biodiversity is important. A healthy vineyard ecosystem means better grapes. So they're planting cover crops, trees for shade, cutting back on pesticides.
Finding that balance between nature and what humans do.
Right on. And it's not just the vineyards. Wineries are getting more sustainable too. Less energy, less waste.
So it's a whole system, thinking of the environment from grape to glass.
It is. And consumers are changing too. More interest in organic wines, biodynamic wines, wines made with those indigenous grapes.
So people are being more thoughtful about their wine, thinking about where it comes from, how it's made, what it does to the environment.
You got it. They're getting more educated, more curious, and Spanish wines have so many stories to tell.
They do. Romans, Moors, all that history.
Yeah.
Just an incredible journey, all in a bottle of wine.
That's what makes Spanish wine so special. It's about the land, the people, the history, all captured in a glass.
Okay, now I really need to open a bottle of Spanish wine and savor every sip, knowing all the work and tradition and love that went into it.
Me too. It's a privilege to share in this tradition and see how Spanish wine is evolving.
It is. And speaking of evolution, we were talking earlier about this new energy in Spanish winemaking, new wineries, modern techniques, that rediscovery of indigenous grapes. Let's dig into that a little deeper. What are some of the regions that are really leading the charge in this Spanish wine renaissance?
Well, you can't talk about modern Spanish wine without mentioning Priorat. It's a region in Catalonia that's really come into its own in the past few decades.
Priorat. I've heard of it, but honestly, I don't know much about it. Fill me in. What's the story there?
Priorat was actually a pretty sleepy wine region for a long time, known mostly for bulk wine production. But then, in the late 20th century, a group of pioneering winemakers came along.
What made these winemakers so different?
They had this vision to create something truly special. They saw the potential in the unique terroir of Priorat, with its steep, slate-covered hillsides and old vine Garnacha and Carignana grapes.
So they were drawn to the challenge. It sounds like a pretty unforgiving landscape.
It is. It's not easy making wine in Priorat. The slopes are so steep, they often have to work by hand. But that struggle, that connection to the land, it's part of what makes these wines so compelling.
Okay, I'm getting a sense of the place. But what about the wines themselves? What can we expect from a Priorat wine?
Priorat wines are known for their intensity, their power, their complexity. Think bold, dark fruit, licorice, mineral notes, and a firm structure, thanks to those tannins.
Sounds like they need some time to open up to soften those tannins.
They do benefit from aging, but even young Priorat wines can be incredibly rewarding, and they age beautifully, developing even more layers of complexity and nuance over time.
This is making me thirsty.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Priorat. What other regions are pushing the boundaries of Spanish winemaking?
Well, another region that's been making waves is Bierzo. It's in northwestern Spain in the Castilla y León region.
Bierzo. Okay, I'm making notes. What's special about Bierzo?
Bierzo is a bit of a hidden gem. It's got a cool climate influenced by the Atlantic Ocean, and the star grape here is Mencia.
Mencia. Okay, another new grape for me. What's the style?
Mencia is known for producing wines with a beautiful balance of fruit and freshness. Think bright red fruit like cherry and raspberry, floral notes, and a touch of spice. They've got silky tannins too.
So elegant and approachable, not those big burly wines we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Birra wines are all about finesse and drinkability. They're perfect for those who like lighter-bodied reds with a bit of complexity.
I'm sensing a theme here. Priorat. These intense, age-worthy wines. Birra, lighter, more elegant. It seems like Spain really does offer a wine for every palate.
It does, and that's just scratching the surface. There's still so much to explore in the world of Spanish wine, and that's part of what makes it so exciting.
I completely agree. It's a journey of discovery, with new flavors and experiences waiting around every corner. And for our listener, who sent us all this material about Spanish wine, it sounds like they've got a whole lot of delicious homework to do.
They do, but it's the kind of homework I wouldn't mind having.
Me either. We were talking about all those amazing indigenous grapes before. It feels like a whole secret world of Spanish wine is out
It
there.
really is. So much diversity, each grape with its own story to tell, a unique expression of Spanish terroir.
So beyond Tempranillo and Garnacha, what else is hiding in those Spanish vineyards?
We touched on Albariño from Rías Baixas. Those cool Atlantic breezes give it a fantastic, salty minerality, citrusy, refreshing, perfect with seafood.
It's incredible how the environment shapes the flavor. You can almost taste the sea breeze in the glass.
Absolutely. Then there's Verdejo from Rueda. That's another one that's becoming increasingly popular.
What makes Verdejo stand out?
Verdejo wines are usually dry with a vibrant acidity, green apple, fennel, even a hint of almond. So unique.
Sounds delicious.
Ooh.
What other hidden gems should our listener be on the lookout for?
Godó is a great one. It's from Galicia, known for these textured wines. Pear, quince, a little herbal. It ages beautifully, too.
So if our listener wants a Spanish white that can stand up to a hearty meal or even age in the cellar, Godó's the way to go.
Definitely worth trying. And these are just a few examples. Spain has dozens of these indigenous varieties, each with its own story and a unique expression of the Spanish terroir.
It's like a wine lover's paradise. So much to discover. But thinking about the future of Spanish wine, we can't ignore the challenges, can we?
True. The wine world is facing a lot of hurdles.
Climate change, global trends, it all feels a bit uncertain. How do you see Spanish wine evolving in the face of all this?
It's a big question. Climate change is impacting wine regions around the world, and Spain is no exception. Some areas are seeing hotter temperatures, less rain, which can affect how the grapes ripen and the style of wine.
So, how are Spanish winemakers responding? Are they finding ways to adapt?
Spanish winemakers, they're a resilient bunch. They're deeply connected to their land and not giving up easily. A lot of them are moving towards sustainable practices, saving water. They're even experimenting with grape varieties that can withstand drought and heat.
Combining ancient wisdom with modern solutions.
Precisely. They're using old techniques like dry farming, which relies on rainfall, minimizes irrigation, and they're using technology to monitor vineyards and make sure every drop of water counts.
That's encouraging. Preserving tradition while embracing change.
And there's a growing recognition of the importance of biodiversity. A healthy vineyard ecosystem leads to higher quality grapes. So they're planting cover crops, trees, minimizing those pesticides and
It's
herbicides.
about finding that balance, right, between
Right.
what humans do and what nature does best.
Exactly. And it's not just the vineyards. Wineries themselves are becoming more sustainable, less energy consumption, less waste.
So it's a complete shift from grape to glass, thinking about the environment at every step.
It is. And we're seeing it on the consumer side, too. People are getting interested in organic wines, biodynamic wine, wines made with those indigenous grapes.
It sounds like people are being more thoughtful about their choices. Where the wine comes from, how it's made, the impact on the environment.
I think that's spot on. Consumers are getting more knowledgeable, more curious, and Spanish wines, they have so many great stories to share.
They do. Romans, Moors, indigenous grapes, modern innovations. It's all part of the Spanish wine story. It's a journey through history, culture, passion.
It really is, and that's what makes Spanish wine so special. It reflects the land, the people, and the history, all bottled up for us to enjoy.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to open a bottle of Spanish wine right now.
Cheers to that.
And to our listener who sparked this whole conversation, thanks for sending us all that great information about Spanish wine. We hope we've inspired you to keep exploring, keep learning, and most importantly, keep enjoying those Spanish wines.
Salud, then.
We'll see you next time for another deep dive.